Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Why, hello, and welcome to episode 39 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my co-patriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle.
That's awesome. Still, every time, like every week, it still gets me.
I don't know what's so funny.
I don't know.
But I'm excited to be on this great show, on this great day, with my great buddy, Mr. Adam Silver. How are you doing?
I'm good now. It's been, you know, I've been up for a few hours, and we talked pre-recording, but I had a little vision issue. I have this thing called...
You're seeing apparitions. Well, having visions.
There's that, as well as not really that.
Yeah.
The opposite is where I can't see very well. I get these optical migraines, I guess they're called. It's like can't see directly in front of me, and then like I see kind of like lights to the periphery. It's not fun. And it doesn't hurt. It's just disconcerting because I'm driving a car. No. It's just not good for everybody.
While we're recording.
Right. Yeah. It's just awkward. Yeah. Let me tell you. So other than that, I'm great. Well, yeah. I mean, I have a coffee, and we'll get to that in a second. But I'm good. You know, what's up with you? I mean, what's new in your world? And any updates there?
You know, things have been good. I'm not having vision problems. I can see perfectly clearly. Good. I can see. You put your shirt on inside out. But...
I can see, why aren't you wearing a shirt? I'm just kidding, people.
I've been doing okay. You know, lately, if I'm being honest, struggling a little bit with cabin fever.
Yeah.
Working from home in January, and it's been a little bit tough. This past week was, I don't know, it was just hitting me. My wife, too, were just not getting out much and really, I don't know, feeling it.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's been tough.
Yeah, I mean it's ironic. I looked at my the calendar for my workouts, my Nike app, and it had been about 9 days since I ran. And actually, our buddy Dustin gave me some hard time about it, but got the new shoes in, and then I still didn't go. It was cold. And then it started snowing here. We got like 7 inches of snow a couple of days ago, and the kids have been home for snow days, and they're off again 3 more days next week for them from high school because of finals. They're done. And I'm with you. It's me not exercising. No bueno. No bueno.
Yeah, and exercise, that is tough to fit in.
It is. And I'm also waiting on some proposals to come back. So I've sent off 2 or 3 proposals. So I'm hoping to land those contracts. It's like they want them fast. I want to get to them. You know, I want to make sure we have it on the calendar, you know, income generating, et cetera. So, yeah, it's tough.
And I love, I mean, I have an all right office here, but I get pretty bored with it.
Yeah.
And now that my wife and the baby are here, I really can't work anywhere in the house but in my office. It's the only place I can go and shut my door and just get work done. So there's usually 2, maybe 3 days a week, I try and just like leave the house and go work somewhere downtown. But lately, that's been tough. First of all, it's been super cold recently, so I'm not that excited about going outside when it's like 5 degrees. But I've also had some issues like this just this past week. Let me tell you.
Okay.
One of my favorite places to go is this community space. It's sort of like a pseudo community space owned by our local energy provider. And it's the same venue we had WordCamp Jackson in last year. And they have this one floor, which I don't understand the intricacies of it, but they had an agreement with the city. They were going to make this technically open to the public. They had a concierge there every day that would admit guests, except nobody knew about it because they didn't care to promote it to residents of this town. Nobody knew about it except for me. So employees of this company would use the meeting spaces, and then there would be little old me going up to this very modern tech setting and throw my lunch in the fridge and warm it up at lunchtime and sit in, you know, comfy seating or booths or a private room. Nobody really from the public using it except for me. And so Wednesday I go in and the door's locked and I can't get in. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Where's Oleg, the concierge, to let me in? And I go to another coffee shop, but that didn't really work out. And I ended up just going home. A failed attempt at working out of the house. The next day, even worse, I get kind of a late start. I go to the place, the door is locked again. I go to another coffee shop, and their Wi-Fi, I just can't get it to work. I fight with it for half an hour. Then I call the energy company. They don't even know what this place I'm talking about is, the support that I get there. They transfer me and I put me on hold for probably another half hour before I get someone in that facility who says, hey, we changed that policy. It's not open to the public anymore.
What?
Sorry. There's nothing you can do.
Wow.
So I go to the library and just have problems there finding a seat with an outlet. And I ended up just like throwing out my hands and going home. Very unproductive, frustrating day.
You should move to my area because the Frontier where I go is free and there is a concierge. It's open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and it's not shutting down. Come on down, buddy. We'll find you a place to live.
I'll think about it. Okay. I'll think about it. All right.
All right. Good. 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 Hey. Yeah. That's tough. It's frustrating to know when. Yeah. I'm sure. So
it is a little bit. I don't know. Maybe we'll take a trip or something like that. Just go hang out at someone's house.
You and me.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Well, I was thinking about, actually, it's funny, I was thinking about coming up, going somewhere, because, you know, my wife came home yesterday sick from work. She was up in Boston and on reserve for the 4 days, and she couldn't do any work and called out. And now she's home all week, and the two kids will be home from school. One has school, the youngest one. But I think I could go somewhere for a few days. I'm like, where do I go? Who should I go surprise? So.
All right.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, that's life updates for us.
Yeah.
For the listeners who care.
So, news and updates. A couple of things here. Actually, is it just one thing, really? I mentioned to you last week that I saw the WordPress security team, the team lead, had submitted 2 talks to DrupalCon. Did you see that in the show notes?
Yeah, I did.
Did you look at the talks submitted? Was it Aaron? Yep. I think Aaron is the one who submitted those, right?
Yeah, Aaron Campbell, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. You know, I mean, I was like, ooh, DrupalCon, ooh, you know. But it's a thing, you know. And actually, I sat next to some Drupal people at Frontier a week or so ago, and yeah, it was interesting, the take that the sense at the table had versus they saw my WordPress sticker on all my stickers on my laptop, and they're Drupal developers. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But what do you think? Do you think it's good that he submitted these talks and that he should go and do these presentations?
Well, I absolutely think it is. And I think they would be wise to accept his submissions for sure, because Aaron Campbell is an amazing developer. And his talks are, you know, his first one is just about being a remote worker, or no, maybe succeeding as an introvert.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of, that doesn't have anything to do with platform.
Right.
And he's been very successful and done amazing things. The other talk was just lessons learned. Being, you know, from the WordPress security team, and that would be a powerful talk that I wish I could attend. That would be great for followers of another platform. I would love to see, you know, security experts in the Drupal community speak at WordPress events and talk about their experiences combating security vulnerabilities, you know, dealing with that stuff. That just would be so cool. I mean, WordPress is a much, 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 much bigger platform than Drupal, and Aaron is leading the security team there. So he's got some interesting experience to relate.
Right.
And they're not too dissimilar. They're both like fundamentally built in the same technologies.
Right.
Drupal and WordPress. So, yeah, you know, those lessons can really be shared.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. People on the move. Any other news? I don't think there's no other news there. So
No. Okay. Let's move carry on.
People on the move, aka changes. There's someone we can finally share the news about moving. This person we're friends with. I'm friends with them. Are you friends with them?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
We do hang out a lot.
Right. So Mike Hale, our friend Mike Hale, we can finally mention that he is moving on. By the time this podcast comes out, he would have already left for about a week. He was with Rainmaker for many years. Now he's running his own agency. There was a blog post on it, I'm sure, by the time this comes out. And he's also, he's been doing some work for me. I've sent some work his way via my concierge WP agency. So happy to hear that he's made the jump from the man to himself.
It is pretty cool. I'm excited about it. I mean, he's been talking a little bit personally,
yes,
to us about his plans, his ideas for this move for a pretty long time.
Since Ann Arbor? Yeah, at least.
Was it? Yeah. It might have been before that.
Before that,
actually.
Too, yeah.
It was, but know, anyway, we're super happy. Mike is a great guy. A man of many talents, actually.
Super.
He is one of the guys with a lot of interests and good at a lot of different things. He knows, like, all... I mean, he's totally the guy to get cocktails with, because he knows. he's actually, like, I think a licensed realtor. He really knows a lot about real estate.
Didn't know
Podcasting
that.
Is a big thing for him. He actually does some podcasts, and he's a great guitar player, a writer, and also a very experienced WordPress developer. So definitely many talents, that guy.
Okay. Yeah. I did not know that. That is weird, wild stuff. I did not know. That's my old Johnny Carson. That is weird, wild stuff. That fascinated. And then, yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
All right. Right. So moving on. Hey, what you wearing? What you drinking? Yeah.
I just finished the Mugger Coffee, and I'm wearing my Pantheon I Make the Internet t-shirt.
Oh, okay. And I'm drinking some Starbucks coffee. I went out this morning in my vision impairment to get coffee. And I'm wearing WordCamp OC 2016 with the iThemes hoodie. So
I love it. Yeah. Love it.
Awesome. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, I got a joke for you.
Oh, do you?
How can you tell how heavy a hot chili pepper is?
How?
Give it away now.
Oh, my God. You are now officially into dad joke territory.
I've been practicing.
Yo, actually, can I tell you one I came up with? I want to share one with you right now that I think is total dad joke worthy.
All right.
So, or kind of, I think it's jokey, but you tell me. So, you know when people say they go to a certain place and they post on Instagram or on Twitter or Facebook, you know, they got there, like, you know, made it to Denver, let's say, right?
Yeah.
Now, do you think when God created Denver, he just said, made Denver? Done. Yeah, I don't know, I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
All three of my kids rolled their eyes.
I can't even.
Made the Pantheon. See what I did there?
It's been a great show. This has been episode 39 of the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Did we miss anything?
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
I just can't even guess.
Yeah, that's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Let's do it. You ready, Kyle? Here comes a question. First question after this song. Okay, here we go. You want to ask that first one? I know I'm going to ask you this one because it makes more sense.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Hit me.
It says you're supposed to ask, but I'm going to ask this one.
Hit me.
How has been working as an employee of a remote company for a while wouldn't be working for you? I'd love to hear the pros and cons working for yourself being employed by a remote team. Asked by our friend Sarah Dunn.
Thank you, Sarah, for the cool question. All right. So,
this is all you, because obviously you're the one who has, you worked remotely for your own agency, but now you work for a remote company.
Sure.
And I don't have that experience. So hit us within 30 seconds or less. Go. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. We could do this all day. Well, you could do this all day because you work for yourself. And right. When you work for yourself, you can talk about whatever you want all day long. You answer to no one, right?
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, dear.
Sure. Sarah does know about my situation or personal friends. And that was what framed this particular question.
Right.
So how's it been? It's been amazing. All right. No regrets at all. This listeners to this show, if you're not aware, I changed jobs about 8 months ago, nine, I don't know, back in April of last year. I formerly was running my own business for about 5 years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Wow. It's been a little while. Okay. Can you believe it? I just can't believe it.
Right.
No regrets at all from me. From giving up entrepreneurship to join one of the coolest companies there are. Is that, you know, because working for someone else is better, or because I'm not a good business owner, or just because Pippin and the Sandhills team are incredible? I have no idea. All I know is it's been good. All right. Working for yourself, though, I mean, there's a few reflections that come up when I think about this topic of working for yourself versus someone else. And first of all, I gotta say, anybody tuning into this who wants like a real deep dive and awesome coverage of this particular topic, go watch WP Battles Round 2 on WordPress.tv.
You want people to see the one where you lost?
No. I'm talking about the second one we did that was the debate where I dominated. I crushed you.
Oh, please.
I crushed you.
Wait a minute.
On WordPress.tv, you will see a video from WordCamp Northeast Ohio where the two of us dressed, put on suits and stood at separate podiums and had a official debate on the topic of entrepreneurship versus employment.
Which is just for those, just to set the stage, it's ironic because we took the approach of what we were doing in the opposite view at that time.
It was kind of fun.
I had a job. You were running your own business, you know, an agency owner.
Yes.
And now, and then, but we took the opposites. Like, I wanted people to go freelance. You wanted people to take the job. And then cut to a year or so later, it has now completely flipped that I am running my own agency and you work for the man.
It's, yeah, we basically convinced ourselves in that process. We were so good. We followed our own advice.
That is brilliant.
It was good. It was good. That was a really fun video, though. We got good feedback from that round two, and I definitely crushed you, but let's move on.
I can mute you.
Okay, so there are some reflections that I came up with. Let's talk about working for yourself first. I did that for long enough to have an idea. When you work for yourself, you get the real, true garbage tasks, right? For most businesses, there are those menial tasks delegated to those in the bottom of the pecking order, and like plunging toilets or something. Those tasks are pretty crappy. It could be a real drain.
Oh, please.
But the truth is, those plunging toilets can take a shower after, go home, and get on with their lives.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No. The people at the top of the small businesses are the ones who, you know, have the real agony-inducing tasks, the ones that give you gray hairs and keep you up at night, like firing people or bidding projects or taking the fall for mistakes made by employees. These are the things that really suck. And when you're at the top of the business, those are the tasks you get to do. And you have a lot of days where you just wish you could just plunge a toilet instead, because you know that just doesn't give you anxiety, lasting stress that takes years off of your life. Those are the realities of running a business. When you're at the top, you know, you get the worst stuff to deal with. And that kind of sucks. But another lesson. This is an important one. I'm trying to make this point here with a story. A while back, I took my dog to the in-laws. He's a nice dog, but he's not the brightest. And my in-laws have a very large pond, which at the time was populated with a flock of geese. Well, my stupid dog, despite her yelling, ran into the pond and swam after the geese. Until he was out of sight, actually, like way out in the pond. It was a very big pond. And the geese easily evaded him.
Is that pond also known as Lake Michigan?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No. And they hardly even seemed to notice him. They can swim for just fine. He's not a very experienced swimmer. He swam and swam. Would get close and just keep trying and simply couldn't give up because the geese were always just barely out of reach. And it seemed like he was gaining on them all the time. That's how he felt until he's in deeper and deeper water, way, way out of our reach. He can't hear us calling. We're panicking on the shore because he's just, we know he gets tired and he's old. And in the end, he needed to be rescued, and it was a really close call. He almost drowned because he blindly persisted and put himself in danger. And the point I'm making is that many business owners are just like my dog in that situation, a little bit blind to their the dangers around them. And always, like from day one to the end, there was never a time where I didn't feel like I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm so close. I can't give up now. I'm just like one project away from succeeding and going to that next level. It is always there.
So you call me a dog?
You can read into this however you like, my friend. But we become very emotionally invested.
I'm like,
and it can be dangerous to just like year after year, always feel like you're so close. It's right there. You can see it. You can almost taste it. Everybody on the outside can't. They're like, why are you still doing this? But you're like, I'm so close. You don't understand. This new prospect that I'm talking to is going to be the turning point for me. You always feel like that. And that was my life for years.
I think I'm going to change from my coffee to maybe something a little stronger this point in the morning already. I'm just feeling so depressed now.
This isn't every business owner, but these are dangers. Yeah. You know, these are things that I experienced. And it also reminds me of, I've been listening to a show called Cults, a podcast, a lot lately. Really good, really great new podcast. I love it. Highly recommend it. 5 stars. There are many things that cults tend to have in common, but one is the fact that when cult leaders inevitably start living by double standards and as their behavior and commands become more and more abhorrent, their followers have at that point invested so much that they cannot break away, because doing so would be like admitting their whole belief system had been wrong from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They've just put too much in to quit. And so no matter what their leaders do or ask of them, they reluctantly comply, because it is easier than the overwhelming prospect of abandoning the world they've given everything to. So we see this time and time again, where you're at a late point in the stage of a cult's growth. And from an outside perspective, you're like, why are they sticking around when the cult leaders are doing atrocious things? But you have to appreciate the fact that they've invested so much already that it's overwhelming the prospect of abandoning it. So it's easier to just like accept this and comply. When you have emotionally invested so much in it, you become a little bit blind, and outsiders have more clarity and can say, you know, it's clearly not working. But on the inside, you're like, I can't give up. I can't accept failure. I can't break away and then live with the fact that all these years were a waste.
Right. You know,
that's how I felt when I started to get this nagging thought that maybe running this business isn't what I should be doing. I pushed it away very quickly and seriously, because that felt to me like I would be admitting defeat.
Did you
all of this was a failure?
Did you treat it like a Red Hot Chili Pepper?
Yeah.
Give it away.
I pushed it away. And, yeah. But it was hard to grapple with, because I just thought that I would be admitting failure. Like if I don't do this for the rest of my life, like all these years were wasted. Which is not the reality. It was a great experience. It got me to where I am at this point in my life.
You know,
I learned more about applying myself.
I got to tell you, I mean, I'm gonna interject. I mean, I have a couple years on you, and I've gone through that a few times. I've started and stopped things for 20 years, you know, and I get to that precipice, if you will, like, oh, I want this. This is gonna be the next, you know, thing. It's gonna work, but life gets in the way sometimes, and you have to make choices and concessions. And it's not, you know, yeah, I've gone through that moment of like, I totally feel like a failure, you know, even just before we moved to the East Coast. Money was tight, business wasn't where it is right now. Not that it's fantastic now, but it's much better a year later. Our expenses were high, yada, yada, yada. We hadn't moved and I think I even considered not working from the co-working space anymore and saving that money, but I was in denial. Well, not denial. I was like, I've not given up yet. And I'm glad I didn't, you know. Yeah. So
there's a balance here sure. Like you put in the hustle and have been like turning your business around and seeing payoff. And you are still seeing like that light ahead, and it's attainable. But you're also like, you're really experiencing measurable growth, and things are going in a good direction, and it's fulfilling for you
but I'm also
part.
Willing to sell.
Yeah. Taking offers. Well, I think that it's important for every business owner to kind of reflect on these things and to do your best to not get put on those blinders and push those alternative ideas away too quickly.
Right.
Just Because it can be dangerous. It's very easy for, I mean, so many business owners go through like bankruptcy, like serious problems, financial turmoil, because they keep going despite the evidence. They're just too invested to give up and like accept failure or what they believe would look like failure. So they just keep going. And every business owner is like, no, this next week is going to be great. This ad campaign that I just paid for is going to turn things around. This sale that I'm running is going to bring customers in, and then word of mouth will spread about my business and it's going to work. I can see it. I'm so close.
Right. No, it takes time. It takes perseverance, time, trust, faith, luck. It's all that.
It does. It does. But we also have to, you know,
acknowledge the reality sometimes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. There are dangers.
That's why I've you know, changed. I pivoted in 20 years. I mean, I haven't been running this version of my company for 20 years. I've been running this one for 17 months, you know, and I documented it, you know, every 2 months on the other show. And I have a plan to do another update on that in a kind of a unique way. I'm totally stealing from another podcaster, but we'll get to that later. But yeah, you know, it's, we'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to be in a year or 3 years or five. Who knows? I mean, honestly, I have no idea. And I'm, you know, I just kind of going with it and trying to, like you said, I'm trying to hustle and work, make it work.
And
enjoy the process. It's not all roses all the time. As we talked about early on, it's, you know, you get to that lull, it's been the winter, you get, you know, now I'm on the East Coast, you get to that, just being cabin fever, it's hard sometimes to keep the momentum going. So, yeah.
I've spent so long detesting the idea of working for someone else. Yeah. It just seemed so just terrible. Yeah. Terrible. I was just not interested for the longest time and felt like this stupid pride every time I heard somebody else, friend or family, complain about their boss or something. And I just would feel a little bit smug. Like, I don't have a boss. I don't have those problems.
See, I think it's the opposite. When you work for yourself, you're always kind of working in one aspect. Like someone just asked me recently, Jen asked me recently, do I work every day? And I kind of do, but I don't really find it work because I do like what I do for the most part, you know. It's just a matter of I get certain things done on certain days, and it just happens to be every day. But I'm trying to do a better job. I'm trying to say, okay, I don't know what I would do if I stopped doing something. Like if I took a full day off, like what would that look like to not be connected? I don't know. I'm trying to be more aware of that and spend time with the family. And I'm going to start going for more walks and hikes and stuff like that in my new city. So anyway, anything else to add to your plumbing
this question stories? It's really making me reflect. It did, and it still is making me reflect a lot more. I appreciate this sort of question. And
I mean,
I think that I was doing it for the wrong reasons for so long,
right?
Reasons like, as I said, I felt like changing would be admitting defeat and accepting failure, and all those years were a waste, which is stupid, but that's how I felt. And because I had this pride in being on top, like that matters.
Right.
And it really doesn't. So all these, the wrong reasons why I was persisting in running a business, which was doing fine. It wasn't a failing business.
Right. It had its ups and downs.
Yeah.
Like any other business does. So.
Yeah. But when you work for someone else, you know, the con is, I guess, your net worth doesn't change as the businesses does.
Right.
And, you know, I learned a lot about how we do want ownership, but that can mean a variety of things. I learned that actually ownership in the company is not really as important as ownership over what I'm doing.
Right.
As long as I'm able to say, this is what I think is important and I'm going to do it, then I have ownership over a thing, over a part of the business, and I'm making an impact. That's really where we find fulfillment.
And as long as you get that fulfillment and some valuation on it on the back end, as far as, yes, you're being paid for that ownership and the value that the company has in you, you know.
I think I've grown more in the past year working with this company than I did in like probably the three prior.
Wow.
In terms of like skill development, experience, knowledge of the industry. It's been excellent
good
for my growth.
You can't see that on the outside, but it's good that you feel that way. I'm just kidding. All right. Should we go to the next question?
Let's play question two. Thank you, Sarah, for this great question.
We're going to play question two. This is from Amy and Susan, or Susan and Amy in that order. They're sisters. She just starts talking. Sorry, there's no pre-roll to this, but here you go. Take a listen.
So at Sumi Designs, we have the two of us. My sister does the developing, and I do the graphic design. But I'm curious as to how other businesses get graphic designers. Do they have them in-house, or do they outsource them? How does that work?
And how do you vet them to make sure they're quality?
Yes, that's a good point.
All right, so that's Susan and Amy from Sumi Designs, and they're sisters. And in case you it was too low, you didn't hear it, how do you find graphic designers? How do you vet them? Right? I have a couple options for you, for the sisters. And I know them both, by the way. I know Amy and Susan. I met them originally at WordCamp Vegas 2014, 2015, something in that range. I don't know. 2015, 2016. So how do you find them? Well, I always find all of my graphic designers at Starbucks. That's where I do.
No kidding.
That's where
I find them.
Of course.
Wow.
Option one, Starbucks.
And
then as far as vetting them, you know, I look for someone that does not have a website. Or if they do have a website, they're using movable type.
Oh, wow. Movable type. Yeah, that's a great, strong signal.
Right. Ideally, they also don't have a business card because it's, you know, they're in the mail. They just ran out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, in quotes. That's quotes. Yeah. And then if they do have a business card and a website, ideally, they've completely used every possible current concept in design. Like, they're just copying someone else's work for the most part.
Wow.
That's how I bet them.
That's a lot of criteria, and but some good tips.
Right. I mean, those are some options of ways to find people and vet them. I'm just saying.
I think that's good advice. Some things that other also work are just putting out as much gaudy, hideous material as possible. All right. Demonstrate your complete lack of design skills as visibly as possible. Business cards, your logo, your website, memes, yard signs, wrap your car. Whatever you can do to get eyes of people in the world visually seeing your hideous design skills. Use painfully clashing colors like baby poop green and skin rash red and rotten banana brown all together. Use only papyrus and Comic Sans. Align everything just like 3.5% off centered. and when you look around and see people weeping and wailing and wetting themselves, you might be encountering graphic designers. Bad design will bring them out.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There you go.
Okay, so the other side of the coin from that, as you and I have the same side of there, would be you do want to find people based usually on word of mouth. In my experience, you know, you ask people you know to find who do you use for X, Y, or Z projects. And that said, you know, I get asked that question a lot, and that's why I launched the service CanYouStartYesterday.com, because I happen to know a lot of people in the industry, in our industry of WordPress development, plugins, PHP, graphic design, business stuff, et cetera, copywriting. So I launched that to help connect those dots. So you want to find a resource, a trusted friend, a referral service that can help there. As far as vetting goes, you do want to look for a quality portfolio with several examples of work. You want to see live sites, not mock-up demos of sites that you think someone did on spec and then aren't really actually live. Ideally, because that could be anybody. I guess those work, yes. But I kind of want to see someone's site that was paid for and is published, personally speaking.
Yeah.
You know,
but that's tricky. Like, when you think about it, I think about it from your perspective.
Okay.
Like, there are a lot of things on the web, tons, which I can attribute my name to in some way.
Sure.
But very little that I can 100% attribute only my name to. There are always other influencers on a project. So if someone were to say, I want to evaluate Kyle's design skills or production skills of some kind and go out there and just look at the works that have his name attached, well, I'm a little shaky about that because I know that I didn't have complete creative liberties there and I had other influencers driving the design. So it can be tough to vet designers if you say, well, if the designer says I designed in quotes, I designed this website and I designed this logo and this brochure. Well, you don't know what other factors were in the project. What creative direction did the client provide and other people involved?
Well, that's the thing though. The creative direction it's up to the designer to take the words that the client has said and create. So if the person designing the brochure or the website or like all the pages, that designer takes credit for that. Whether or not they got art direction or not, or insight or feedback from a client, that's still, they designed it. Now, if the copy was written by somebody else, that's different. They didn't do the copyright.
We've turned in things, initial drafts, that were gorgeous.
Right.
And then destroyed by the client.
Right.
Well, just because they're the one paying and they stood their ground and said, we're putting on homepage sliders and more purple and more stock photos.
And those
and
are
we're
the ones
killing that, this other cool thing. No.
And those are the ones who do not go in your portfolio, that you don't give out because it's not what you designed. I have a handful of those. Easy. I have half a dozen of those where, yes, I worked on them. I gave them first rounds and stuff, and there's like 5-10% left of what I put in there. I mean, I have a site that we built. We rebuilt the back end. They kept the front end. Did I build a site? Yes, I built a site. One page on that site I'm happy with because it's using newer technology, if you will. It's using a newer piece of the theme that we implemented. The rest of it, is it in my portfolio? Not so much.
Yeah,
you know, because
clients are great at ruining good projects. Yeah, the worst.
So, you know, the other thing is, as far as vetting, I just want to answer this on Amy's question of vetting. You know,
sure.
I think you also need to know how it was to work with them. Like, so if the referral is, let's say I'm referring Stacy, you know, to you. I'm just trying to think how to word this. It's the timeline. Were they responsive? If you're trying to hire a freelancer, graphic designer, developer, whatever it may be, something else, what's their turnaround time? What's their response time? How do they communicate? Do they do a good job in replying to you? Because if they take 3 days between each email or Slack something, whatever it is, that's bad. You want to make sure to set that up front, what you expect as far as reply time. So. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, that's true.
You know, and then, you know, what are they expecting for payment? So vetting as well. I mean, you know, but I think the real question is, how do you find them? How do you vet them? You find them based on word of mouth referrals, ideally. How do you vet them? Carefully, you know, and you have to take a chance. Yeah. It's going to take a chance, you know, and you're going to get burned at least once. I mean, we all have.
You know, I've had a lot of luck at conferences, actually. Those are kind of a pretty easy win. You can go to Design Tracks. There are obviously speakers who are great designers you can talk to, leaders in their space. But also, like another shortcut, tons of speakers. It could even be yourself up on stage, start their talk with, how many people in the room are designers? Put your hands up in the air.
Right. Yeah.
Just like, look around. There's going to be a lot of hands going up. Those might be the people to just introduce yourself to. Hey, can I have your business card? I'm looking for a graphic designer. That's like a pretty quick, simple way.
Because you can't sell from stage. You can't sell from stage at WordCamps, but you can hire.
Certainly. Or if you're just in the audience, but somebody, how many people are designers here in the room?
Look around. Right.
There you go.
Yeah. That's another way to find people. But yeah, it's community. It's not, it's tough. It's not an easy answer. But once you find someone, it's like, you want to make sure you keep them and, you know, keep them happy and, you know, can afford them, et cetera, right?
So, yep.
Anyway. All right. Yep. I think we answered that. We good?
I feel good.
All right. Last question. You want to ask this one?
Topher DeRosha writes, do people actually use iTunes for podcasting?
Easy. Great question. Easy answer. No. They don't.
Wow.
They use iTunes as a directory. Come on, Topher.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you have a podcast. Do you have a podcast, right? Besides this one.
Yeah.
Is it even on iTunes?
Yeah.
No. Is it? Oh yeah, it is. If and when I update it and submit, you know, and it gets the feed.
Oh, come on. Probably the first 80 episodes. I don't know how many are on there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I did the last 25 of them when I had my old day job because I was so bored.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
I'll catch that.
Really nice of you.
Yeah.
Technically, you can open the iTunes application on your Mac and play podcast episodes from it.
So, yeah. So I guess the question is, do they use iTunes for podcasts? So I'm confused on what he's asking, but iTunes.
I think Topher was being a little bit snarky.
Okay. So snarky answer, no. But iTunes is a direct directory for podcasting. Same thing with Stitcher Radio. Some of the, they're just directories. So
yeah.
iTunes doesn't host the files at all, and that's an easy answer. We host over at Libsyn.com, and they're awesome. So
that's true. Does anybody use the native podcast app on iOS?
I used to until about a year, year and a half ago. I loved it for the longest time. I was a de facto hard. I just really liked it. And then they ruined it.
you ditched it earlier than I did. Like, they did do an update and you were like, I can't take this anymore. And you switched. And I was like, it's not so bad.
I'm an Apple fanboy. Like, I'm going to stick with it. I mean, I'm one to still use Apple Mail. I use a lot of stuff that's built into it to iOS or macOS. And they really, really messed up. And once, what's it called? What do I use now?
You don't even know, man. Like, after you left, months later, there was another update and it got even worse, like way worse. And then I left. Yeah. So now I'm using
Overcast. I use Overcast.
Overcast. Yeah, that's what I'm using.
And Overcast went free. You know, it's donation based and he makes good money doing that and maintaining it because he used it, whatever. But I love Overcast now. So,
me too.
Yeah. So there you go. Thanks, Topher, for the snarky question.
We love them.
Yeah.
We love Topher. We love Topher. Those questions.
And Kate and their daughters are also. They're
Emma and Sophie.
Great family. Great. Really
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. The best.
The best. All right. Wrap us up.
You know what else is the best? You, listener of this show. We are thrilled and just tickled that you are still tuning into this show and not skipping to the end and listening to the next show in your feed, probably This American Life or reruns of Serial or Limetown or Cults. I recommended Cults.
You should
totally subscribe to that.
Stop giving them ideas.
Kitchen Sink WP.
That's a great one idea. Great one.
Yeah. Another podcast maybe worth listening to. You, listener, are awesome, and we want to help you. In exchange for listening to this, we are going to provide you with advice, answers to questions that you send us. The email for sending questions to us is questions@getoptionspodcast.com. You can go straight to getoptionspodcast.com, find episodes of this show, leave a SpeakPipe voicemail for us to play your beautiful voice on a future episode of this show. You can articulate your question as no one else could. Don't leave us to paraphrase your words. Just send us your own words and your own voice and get a break from ours on a future episode, or just fill out our contact form there on the website. That's pretty cool. Maybe if you're really bored, got nothing going on in your life, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would help the show out a lot. Anything else to add?
You can find us at online. Each one of us has a Twitter account. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. And we are here at @get_options, also on Twitter. See you next week. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
And we're back. Yay.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Was it?
It was brilliant.